What's up, AfterBuzzers? It is that time of night. It's time for another edition of the American Ninja Warrior After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We made it. We made it to Vegas. We're talking night one of the Vegas National Finals, so get into it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm a ninja. I'm a hoodie ninja.
There you go.
I'm a ninja. I'm a hoodie ninja.
You got it, guys. It's that time again. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's time for another edition of the American Ninja Warrior After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. That's right. We're talking season 9. We're talking episode 13. We're talking the Vegas finals. Baby, the national finals. We made it.
We are here. I feel like we are at the Oscars almost.
It's been a long
journey.
Or it's
like the Golden Globes leading up to the Oscars.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty exciting night.
Yeah.
I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lots of moments where I screamed a little too loud.
A little bit. That's what happens.
Yep.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Remember, if you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. If you're on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate 5 stars if you're nasty. My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA. That's all forms of social media. Joining me, as always, you can find her sometimes rocking a poncho and a single red balloon.
Yeah, you know. Sometimes, you know, on a Tuesday.
You know,
That's when it goes down.
That's what I hear. Guys,
going up.
It goes up on a Tuesday. It goes down in the DM. That's what it is.
Oh, hi. All right. Keep it DM. G.
Guys, you can find her online at amycassandra_t. Hey, DMs can be perfectly innocent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you made it sound...
What did I make it sound like?
No, please don't look at me. You scare me.
Guys, you can find her online at amycassandra_tv. I'm going to get it one of these days. Or online at amycassandra.com. Guys, it's Dave Cassandra.
Hi, thank you. Well, I realized you barely took a breath earlier. I was almost concerned for your safety. It was just like, ooh.
I got this.
You do.
This. Lung
you
capacity, do got this. Man.
Yep. That's all that.
Thank you.
What did you? What was that?
It was Toasty from Mortal Kombat.
Of course, with a K.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Yep.
You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get into. We finally, it's been a long journey. We finally made it to Vegas. We finally made it to the national finals. But there we go. There's that breath.
There it is. You finally took a breath.
It's not infinite. I gotta step away from the mic like Tay Zonday sometimes.
Mm,
you know?
Yeah.
Chocolate rain. You know Chocolate Rain?
I know Purple Rain.
Oh. I mean, I guess that's worth something. If you don't know Chocolate Rain, though.
Well...
Come on.
We barely even know rain here in Southern California.
That's true. I got a lot of it, though, on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
A lot of hot rain. It was not pleasant.
It was so foreign.
Yeah.
It took me a while to realize what that was.
Exactly. Before we get into Season 9, Episode 13, the Vegas Finals, we have a little bit of housekeeping to get out of the way. Now, as always, we thank you guys so much for your support, and we actually have some exciting news about AfterBuzz. Now, whether you're a new listener or a longtime AfterBuzz fan, you know that we are the world's number one destination for TV coverage. Well, starting next month, we're going to be expanding that content beyond just after shows to bring you a whole slate of new content, formats, and guests. Now, don't panic. Our after shows aren't going anywhere. They're just evolving. See, most of the shows you love only air for part of the year. We don't have too much time left ourselves. But during the rest of the year, these shows have news constantly breaking that you guys want to talk about. So, as the ESPN of TV talk, no big deal, it's our job to cover it. Now, we're going to have in-depth coverage for comedies, for dramas, for animated shows, truly anything you can imagine. Absolutely nothing's off limits. And given that no limits approach, to TV coverage, we realize that sometimes it can be hard to find the shows that you love. And so we listened. We're restructuring the website, the shows, and our platforms to make it that much easier to find what it is you're looking for. Now, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, very easy to remember, is going to be divided into 9 sections by genre. That's going to be dramas, comedies, reality shows, reality competition shows, wrestling and sports, animation, sci-fi, fantasy, superheroes, red carpets, and last but certainly not least, our own featured and original content. Now, there's a ton to be excited about, but it's not going to happen all overnight. So as we develop, we're going to be experimenting a little bit to cater to your TV desires, which means your participation and your feedback is going to be essential to deliver these custom shows. So So stay with me here. Keep up to date with everything. Be sure you sign up for our monthly newsletter, which is launching this month. And check out our show AfterBuzz Weekly with Megan Stecker. A lot of stuff happening, so make sure you're on board because you don't want to get left in the dust.
That was amazing. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. Thank you. You know what is also fantastic?
What's that?
We never really talk about this, but mm-hmm. AfterBuzz and all of us, I feel like we do a really good job with social media.
We do.
Well, we always tweet out, once we go live, mm-hmm. Here's the link, watch us.
Sure.
I always see it after the fact, and sometimes I see that Matt Eisman likes the tweet.
Oh, there you go, friend of the show, Matt Eisman.
Yes!
Last season, if you go check out our season 8 finale, we had not only Matt Eisman, we also had Akbar Bajabiamila in studio right here where I'm sitting. Biggest hands I've ever seen.
See, and Matt Eisman mm-hmm. just liked our tweet.
There you go.
So I'm pretty excited because Matt, I see it after the fact.
Still love you.
You're welcome to come on in.
Hi. It's at any time.
There's either here, left.
They came last season, they came straight from an after party right into the studio during the show.
I saw it.
It was pretty good stuff.
I saw it and I was like, that could be me one day. And here we are.
There you go.
Talking.
Dreams do come true, guys.
American Ninja Warrior. That's what we do on
AfterBuzz TV.
It's beautiful.
Now let's get into the finale. Or not the finale.
No.
But you're excited. The national finals.
Yeah.
I'm so used to I've had a few finales lately, so I'm in that kind of wrap-up mode. We still got a little ways to go.
Yeah, don't worry, guys.
We're not done with Vegas just yet. We're just talking night one.
Woo!
So let's talk about this course. Your first nationals course.
I know. It is just an honor to be here. I am so excited. Thank you, guys.
Starting off, as always, we've got the snake run, followed by the propeller bar, mm-hmm. the double dipper, a 50-foot long track separated by an 8-foot gap. Looks for all the world like a roller coaster. Very, very fun. Followed by the jumping spider, the parkour run, the warped wall, as always, the brand new domino pipes, the flying squirrel, and then finally a cargo net climb up to that buzzer for the finish. And all of these competitors have only 2 minutes and 35 seconds in which to complete all these obstacles.
That is insane. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever had a favorite obstacle because they're obstacles. I like them all the same. But that freaking double dipper looked like fun. But obviously people did not think it was that much fun.
It was fun to watch.
They couldn't get through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a roller coaster. You know I'm not a fan of roller coasters, but I would love to give that one a shot. That looked fun. It looked fun. They get ready.
That was a pirate style drop.
Yes. Are lots of pirates going into the double dipper for sure. So did you have a favorite obstacle?
Oh man, usually I do on every course I have some sort of a favorite.
Okay. Take mine.
No.
Okay.
I like the parkour run. I liked watching people do the parkour run because those platforms were extremely steep, incredibly steep, and people had to really kind of get a good pace and a good momentum going on this obstacle
for sure. I know, and we saw different people try to get through that obstacle different ways.
Right. We saw a lot of interesting approaches to a lot of these obstacles and a lot of approaches that I didn't know would have been legal. So like there were brief moments where I was like, oh shit, is this person gonna get this goal?
Okay, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. I feel like J.J. Woods might have been one of them. But as we saw a couple weeks ago, we saw Sam San unfortunately disqualified from the city finals when he touched the middle portion of the paddle boards.
Baloney.
But I guess there were a couple obstacles where if you're able to, you can give it the old college try. You can jump if you feel like jumping. To the landing platform.
Just say how high.
Yeah.
You just do it. And the goal is obviously to land on the other side. And it's surprising, though. Just in case you guys didn't know.
You got it. Nailed it.
It's surprising how sometimes people have so much, force. The force is with them, for sure.
Sure.
When they're running so quickly across the domino pipes. just to skip that last pipe.
Exactly, exactly. We saw, in fact, we saw Mike Bernardo do like a diving. He did like Star Fox. He did a barrel roll right over that last pipe.
We also saw some leaps. I mean, flips.
We saw some flips. We saw Flip Rodriguez.
Yep. That was good. That was good. But, okay, are we going to get to our favorites?
We're going to get to whatever you like, Amy.
Well,
What are we tackling first?
I almost want to go semi-chronologically because there's so much that happened near the end that it was just like, oh, someone else made it. Super cool. But at the beginning,
a lot of finishers tonight.
Like, I was a little shocked.
Compared to some of those city finals in which we didn't see a single finisher, to see as many as we did tonight was pretty surprising.
This is, yeah. 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 Okay. Maggie Thorne. She was the third one shown.
Right, right.
Rooting for her. I love her false eyelashes. I love that she wears them. She gets dressed up.
All right.
I don't think I've ever talked about that, but.
You haven't.
I love what you're doing, Maggie.
Wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah. But yeah, she did kick off that second bar in the double dipper.
Right, right, right.
So, and she said that she felt like if she just kept her body more controlled and not, you know, moved around her legs so much, it would have been fine.
Right.
Which, yeah, I agree. But, I mean, this was her first time at national finals, so good for her.
A lot of pressure's on. It's an unfamiliar obstacle. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of people kind of get thrown off by the placement of the bar itself, where they might have pushed one hand a little too far in front of the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is so tricky because sometimes when that happens, you have to adjust it in between those two.
Right.
I mean, in that
eight, as you're flying towards the second rail.
That's just crazy to me. Chris DeGangi.
Yes, absolutely. That is the boyfriend of Jesse Flex LeBrec?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. I just wrote OMG Domino Pipe save.
Oh God. That was the one. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So heartbreaking.
That was the one where he kind of had to shimmy himself backwards and up onto the platform, right? That was impressive.
So good that you think, oh my gosh, he's fine. He's got this. And then he fell at the flying squirrel.
Right. But I mean, even then, though, the time that it took to save himself on the pipes, you knew it was going to be a close call for sure.
And the energy.
Right. Oh, exactly. So exactly.
I really did not think that could be done.
Right, 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 right. And then, yeah, to go move on past that and move all the way to the flying squirrel. Heartbreaking, but an impressive run nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if he's training with Jesse LeBrec, they're helping each other out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be fine to come back next year. And who knows? Maybe go on to stage two.
Absolutely.
After that. Okay, who else?
Who else did you like?
Brian Wilcheski.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when things started getting a little bit interesting. He was the seventh person shown.
Mm-hmm.
So he skipped that first step.
Right, the very first step on the snake run.
Mm-hmm. Why? I'm thinking first, but here's the thing. If you don't try something else than what everyone else has tried, then you don't know what works and what doesn't work.
Well, for sure. And it's not necessarily that jumping that first step was a mistake, because I'm sure plenty of people did that.
After. But they have to, continue.
Right, right. But I feel like it was just kind of a freak accident. It was exactly the exact point that he stepped on. If he had done it 100 times, 99 other times, I think it would have worked. It was this one outlier that I think his foot happened to slip. That was rough.
I don't know, dude. It was more painful than I'd like to admit, because it was just starting the episode and you're thinking, oh my gosh, everyone.
It's that very first gasp of the episode that just takes all of the air out of you. I know exactly what you mean.
And you think, oh no. Oh no, no one's going to finish.
Right, right.
But hey, come back next year. All these people, I'm just so excited for them because they've gotten this far. Not only the qualifiers, but then the city finals, and now we're in stage one. So,
right, right. But that's got to make it so much more painful to go out on not only the very first obstacle, but the very first thing that you put your feet on.
It's almost like he didn't even really get started.
Right, he didn't. He very literally didn't. So hopefully Here's to a better run next year.
Yeah. I mean.
Season 10.
Well, and speaking of people, you know, coming back and improving. Nick Hansen.
Yes. Yes. Come on, Ninja. Absolutely.
That was so crazy to watch because he was 5 seconds away from not being able to go onto stage two.
Right.
What were your thoughts when you were watching that?
That was an intense, intense run for sure. Because he last year he had come up just short time wise, right?
Yes.
And it's that cargo net. Even if you've got a good pace and you've got a lot of time going, like that cargo net is deceptively tough to climb up. So it could take much longer than anyone anticipates to hit that buzzer. And so it was definitely a lot of nerves. I can only imagine how he felt. There was a bit of a scare on that double dipper. Before that, he had missed the rope on the propeller bar, which I was very, very worried was going to cost him precious time.
Yes.
But made it, you know, made up for it. And yeah, finished with 5 seconds left to go.
Cutting it so close. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was not like there's places, but yeah, he was last.
I mean, there kind of is.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is. Yeah. Okay. I think, like, hey, it's cool you made it, but yeah, there are places.
Yeah.
He's last. But what was really exciting to see was that Grant McCartney, he didn't make it to stage one.
That dude is everywhere. There. I love it.
He's like, where's Waldo? Except we know exactly where he is.
Exactly.
He's everywhere.
Exactly.
But just to prove, you know, hey, I'm going to be here for you guys.
Right.
You know, I love the camaraderie that American Ninja Warrior has created with everyone.
And that's the thing. Yeah, it feels like every ninja we see some sort of connection. It's like this big, like, interweaving, like, tapestry where it's like, okay, this ninja's training partners with this ninja, but they were college roommates with this ninja.
Yes.
And they're best friends with this ninja who knows this ninja.
It's almost
it's like 6 degrees of separation.
Yes.
I got you.
You just, yep. What he said.
Who else? I loved Judas Licardello. That's one of those names that we kept seeing. We kept seeing in the leaderboards on the qualifier, on the city finals, but we never really got to hear his story. We never got to hear that this guy is a friggin' third generation auctioneer. His dad and his grandfather were auctioneers before him.
When they showed that footage of all three of them, you know, yes, showing their
awesome.
Skills.
Yeah.
I was just in awe.
Yeah, like, this guy was great. I wanted to see more of him, like, retroactively. This
yeah.
guy, though, if we're talking about moments, like, not many moments this entire season come close to this guy doing a backflip off of the double dipper.
So stylish.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything like that
that's
at
gonna
all.
Be, no, that's going to be on highlight reels for many, many seasons to come.
You could have a gif of that.
Absolutely. Sure. I'm sure someone does.
What really was not cool, though, is him falling right after.
Right, right. That was that was a bit of a buzzkill, that jumping spider. It's and like they said before, the jumping spider at its narrowest is 6 feet across.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of jump the gun a little bit, if you you know, reach out your legs a little too far, it's actually at 8 feet. Right?
No.
Is that right?
Close.
Are those numbers wrong?
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
I'm sorry.
What is it?
Six. Is the widest.
Oh, six is the widest, and then it's four?
Four. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Got it, got it, got it. Okay, stretch that. Reverse it.
Flip it and reverse it.
Yes, exactly. It's, yes, at its narrowest, it's 4 feet across, which is wide enough for even, you know, your Tyler Yamauchis or your Casey Catanzaros to be able to hold themselves up against the walls. But it kind of, it curves inward. And so, like I said, if you jump the gun, if you reach those legs out too early, that's a 6 foot gap and it's damn near impossible to save yourself.
See, and it's not like he was trying to show off with that flip. It just naturally happened, I think. No, no, I'm going to say it naturally happened. Let us know in the comments below. I think it naturally happened. When you have style like that, it just naturally happened. Whatever, Ty. Whatever. All right. Okay. You can have that one, but I stand by my decision. Podcast. He is looking at me with such intensity right now. Okay. Barclay Stockett.
Yes. You got
girl, it. Girl, we have someone in the chat right now. Corbion. Take a bow, Barclay.
I think that might be Corby1.
Corby1. That makes more sense.
You never know.
You, hey.
Hey. Where do things have happened?
Corby. I'm sorry. Okay.
We definitely got to talk about Barkley Stockett for sure.
She's only 5 feet, and mm-hmm. I think sometimes you forget that. So even, you know, with the spider, mm-hmm. that's still very difficult to get through.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And it's not just holding yourself up, but it's that first jump. It's that transition from the trampoline into bracing yourself against the wall.
Mm-hmm. You have to really shoot in there,
right,
to make sure that you can that you can make it. So she was the first woman to pass the double dipper. Uh huh. And mm-hmm. then she was the second woman in the history of American Ninja Warrior to finish. To go past the warped wall, to go up the warped wall in stage one.
Oh, okay. There you go.
She was only one obstacle away. What I found interesting is that she just ran out of time.
Right.
Which, that's something, though, because she didn't fall. She just ran out of time.
Right. You got to think, though, which one's more frustrating?
I don't know. Right. I can't answer. I have no idea. Just thinking about it's just me.
Yeah, I would not be getting very far at all on this course. So this is purely speculative, y'all.
I mean, but I think, and she was talking about how Casey was such an inspiration for her. And then Casey was talking about how she wanted to be there, and it felt like she was passing on legacy. And you can feel that all the ladies just. I mean, Jesse Graff and Casey Catanzaro, like, they paved the way for the ladies to be able to do this. And, yes, Casey is leaving, but it's just exciting to think of all the new ladies that could be coming on even next year.
Of course. It's a whole new generation. Yeah. You got to pass that torch.
For sure.
Exactly. So, speaking of that, we definitely got to talk about Alyssa Beard.
Yes.
We're about to flip this damn table over.
This
run was so much fun to watch. And it was like, it's one of those runs where you get closer and closer to the edge of your edge of your seat, even.
Everything.
You know, if you're in your bed, it could be the edge of your seat, you know, the edge of your seat, rather.
Yes.
The longer the run goes on. One of the Fantastic Four, of course, as you talked about, that Casey, that Jesse Graff kind of paved the way for. But this run, just absolutely unreal.
And this came after Jesse Flex LeBrec's run.
Right.
And, I mean, at that time, you could feel just the intensity and the amount of pressure that was just there.
Right.
Because it's like, we want ladies to move on. Let's do this.
And yeah, she was the final female runner of the night as well.
Yeah. So she was officially the second woman to complete stage one. And everyone went wild. But I kept watching Jesse. Jesse.
Which Jesse?
Flex.
Got it.
Flex LeBrec. Because, okay, so going back to Jesse, Flex, we're just going to call her Flex. Flex LeBrec, when she was getting ready for the spider part, she went back a little bit because she was going. She's like, no. So you could see she's thinking about everything.
You got to pace yourself.
Yes, she's not mindlessly just blowing through the course.
Right, because we've seen that. We've seen people fall to that strategy before.
Yes, and it was the net that got her. Mm-hmm. And she jumped right to it.
Much like Sandra Bullock in the 90s.
What is that supposed to mean?
She was in a movie called The Net in the 90s.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a dig. I didn't get it. I don't know which movie that was. I just know Speed and a bunch of romantic comedies that she's in.
It's a movie called The Net. It was back when the internet was brand new. It was like right around the time that like Hackers came out and stuff like that. And
that was good.
That's pretty good.
I need to watch it.
Yeah. Have you seen Hackers?
No.
You gotta see it. It's terrible, but it's awesome. Guys, if you haven't seen Hackers, go see Hackers.
And Net.
And The Net. The Net isn't quite as exciting, but.
But Sandy's in it.
And Enemy of the State. Thank you, Steve. That one's Sandy. Good, too. I forgot about that one. But yes.
But
there was a time that the internet was brand new. A lot of good movies coming out.
When you dial up.
There you go.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah, the modem.
But yeah, so she was so freaking close that she just, like, Sandy, it was The Net, You did it better.
See, you're on board. Exactly, exactly.
But yeah, so then did you see Flex's reaction when Alyssa made it to the top? Like, she was crying, I'm sure. Yeah. Just because, like, yes, someone did it, but it's so stinking close. So close. That could have been her, and then we could have had three ladies. But hey, like, she got very far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Now, we talked about how, you know, they love that line that speed kills. You know, yes. We've seen that happen so much. So we definitely have to talk about Lauren Ball. This guy, he goes so fast. He was in city finals. Mm-hmm. He's had the fastest time for four straight years. So he is known for making this like breakneck pace on the course, but he's also known for either going big or going home. And sadly it was the latter.
Yeah. Tonight.
That's LETT ladder.
There you go. Not you climbing know. Up the ladder.
Homonyms,
hey.
Y'all.
Sound names. But yeah, the grip switching.
Oh man, that got him for sure. Absolutely. Because it's like I said, like how do you even prepare for something like the double dipper? Like both the switch grip and the front facing grip, you could see, you know, arguments could be made for both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
while the switch grip might help you on something like the salmon ladder where you've got these firm moments of impact, this is something that has a lot of momentum going along with it.
See, and we did have someone that they said, you know, I won't be making the same mistake as last year about doing the switch grip.
Right. This, I wouldn't think, and once again, we're not experts here in the least, but I can't imagine that the switch grip would be more so beneficial with an obstacle like the double dipper.
Yeah, this is one of the situations where I think just grab it normally.
Right.
And then
because at the very least, because on other obstacles where the switch grip might be preferred, it's to keep that bar stationary and to keep it from spinning. Whereas I feel like in the double dipper, that forward momentum will kind of carry you down the track and it won't give that bar a chance to spin out of your hands.
And it looked fun. It looked fun, except when they fell.
Like a blasty blast.
It did, because then you let go, whoop, just hang on to the other one.
Yep.
Exactly like that.
Exactly.
If only it was that easy. If only. But speaking of speed.
Yeah, it was that double dipper did him in. Speaking of speed.
Mm-hmm. Are we gonna talk about Lance Pikus?
Of course. I mean, I thought we were gonna save that. I thought we were gonna talk maybe about Joe Moravsky, maybe about Brent Stephenson, maybe about Flip Rodriguez, maybe about Ben Baker.
We can flip it around and start like you wanted to. Stop! Oh my gosh, why are you looking at me like podcast people? Please watch this. You just have to.
I stare daggers at Amy whenever she makes just a pun. It's terrible.
Yeah. I can't even look at you right now. I'm scared.
Now we saw, like we talked about, we saw a lot of finishers to the point where a lot of the finishers were just kind of those commercial break recaps.
Yes.
We saw people like Sean Darling Hammond and Drew Knopp and Mike Bernardo and Kevin Bull all just kind of like, oh yeah, and during the break these guys finished too.
Ian Dory, Thomas Stillings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, there's Genie Pants. Absolutely, of course.
Yes.
But as the episode's winding down, we're getting runs that are better and better and faster and faster. Mm-hmm. Flip Rodriguez hitting the buzzer with 30 seconds left to go. Brent Stephenson beating his time, hitting the buzzer with 33 seconds left. Of course, we've got Joe the Weatherman Moravsky, who is another guy that's known for his speed and known for his pacing.
So cool.
This guy's awesome.
Well, and the way he finished it, he got up there. He's like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Skip the last pipe. Exactly. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. Before we get to that finishing moment, though, we got to talk about how that propeller damn near took his head off. This guy grabbed the rope. The propeller, it came what seemed like within inches of being a straight up Mortal Kombat fatality. Yo, what timing with the Shao Kahn. Thank you, Steve.
That was perfect.
It was good stuff. It was very, very good stuff. It was scary, but he made it through. Manages to land. He lands so high on that cargo net off of the flying squirrel.
I know.
That's like, I mean, obviously that's kind of what you're shooting for. You're shooting for that high of a landing so you don't really have to do that much climbing. Mm-hmm. Manages to hit that buzzer with 42 seconds left. Unbelievable run.
And then he jumps into the water.
Oh my God, I forgot like, about woo-hoo. That. Kicks off his shoes and jumps. So that is such a high platform.
Okay, see, I thought that was just me. I was like, what?
No, it's extremely
that's really high.
That's incredibly high. No, absolutely.
Well, and a little shout out to the cameramen of mm-hmm. American Ninja Warrior, because some of those shots were just so beautiful.
Of course, of course.
The I keep wanting to say Dippin' Dots, but the, sure. the double dipper. Some of the shots that they would get of that, you feel like you're on a roller coaster.
That's exactly right. I was excited every time someone went on.
See?
I would follow my
eyes. My hands would get clammy. I'd be like, whoa. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not doing this.
Back at Disneyland.
Yes. Yeah, so, thank you. Thank you. It's a sore subject, guys. Yes. But, I mean, even with just other obstacles, they would show just the best angles so mm-hmm. that you'd really get a feel for it. And that was one of them where I was like, oh. He just jumped all of that.
So we talked about Joe Moravsky just shattering every other record before him. But mm-hmm. after that, we got to talk about the final run of the night. Lance Peekus, the cowboy ninja.
With a heartfelt story.
Oh my God, that story was... That was heartbreaking, absolutely.
So unexpected, too, because, yeah, I mean, we haven't seen his wife.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. All. So Lance Peekus' wife, Heather, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in her early 20s, had gone a good 8 or 9 years without mm-hmm. any sort of symptoms or kind of characteristics.
Yeah.
But lately, those have kind of started to manifest and... Yeah, it's rough for sure.
And she was so active.
Exactly. She would work out and she would yeah. ride on horseback and stuff like that. And so
she went from that to being almost wheelchair bound.
Right, having to use a walker. Exactly, yeah.
Crazy.
And so it's debilitating, but it's, you know, it's a testament to her strength and to her toughness that she's sticking in there and that Lance is sticking right by her side, you mm-hmm. know. And it, you could tell that when people have something to run for, when they've got a family member or something like that kind of inside them, it seems like it pushes them that much more, you know?
And it almost feels like they're invincible in
right,
a way.
Right, right, right.
That's why sometimes when they fall and they have such a heartfelt story, you're just heartbroken.
Right, right.
But I'm glad that this was completely different.
Absolutely. It's so such an incredible, incredible run. Mm-hmm. I love that we also heard that he built his own jumping spider out of hay bales, which like you hear a lot about people building their own salmon ladders mm-hmm. and things like that. You never hear about people building their own jumping spiders. So it's that farm life, man. Farms produce good ninjas. If we've seen anything.
Y'all.
Perfect. That's Texas for you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
But yeah, so this guy is just blistering past this course, manages to hit the buzzer with 45 seconds left and drapes a tiny little cowboy hat on top of it.
I love when Matt and Akbar were talking about it. And they're like, what is he getting? Oh my gosh, that's a tiny cowboy hat.
It lost my mind. It was so funny.
So stinking cute.
Because we don't usually see him leave his cowboy hat at the beginning of the course this time. We yes. also don't usually see him not in denim
yes.
running the course.
He took off the shirt and the cowboy hat, mm-hmm. which was, yeah, the cowboy hat. I was like, whoa.
Right.
It's going down, guys.
It's going down.
That's how you know.
For real, as yeah. Flo Rida would say.
Going down for real. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
That's a great song. You got it.
But yeah, I mean, it was a great way to end the episode, and I'm super stoked for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, uh-huh. Super.
You went totally hard, rad. Hard from Texas to California. That was a hard pivot.
Super stoked, man.
Like the
totally gnarly.
The Californians.
A fellow checker, eh?
Oh, it's such a good drop. I haven't heard it in so long. Oh, boy. The Ninja Turtles. Oh, man. But yes, what an awesome, awesome night. Mm-hmm. We also Who else? We got to talk about Travis Rosen. We will jump back a little bit. We don't have too much time left. But we've got to talk about Travis Rosen, 42 years old, stock trader from Franklin, Tennessee, the oldest person ever to finish stage one.
Yes.
Absolutely unreal. He's a former gymnast at the University of Iowa. Looked like, so he was out on the snake run last year, mm-hmm. had a very, very cautious approach on the snake run this year. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if maybe he was going to lose some precious time on that. Almost lost it on the domino pipes, but manages to hit that buzzer with 28 seconds left. His sixth time hitting a buzzer on stage one and the oldest person to do so.
And that save, was it after the domino
mm-hmm.
pipes, was really good.
Yeah, he just definitely.
Grabbed onto the landing pad. It's like, you're not going
oh,
anywhere.
That's right. And I wasn't sure. Even when he gripped on, I was like, oh my God, his foot definitely hit the water, you know?
Yes. Good thing he wasn't too tall.
Right. He's not John Alexis over here.
No. Because that's always terrifying when they just doop, they dip their feet in the water. That's it.
Right.
It's
right.
Over.
Big old DQ. Not a disqualification, not Dairy Queen.
I was like, what does Dairy Queen have to do with this?
It's where we stop in Texas.
DQ. That's what I like about Texas.
Yes.
Yes.
You got it. So what a run that was. What a night to start off the national finals in Vegas. Let's run down our finishers because we had a whole hell of a lot of them. You wouldn't have expected it from some of the city final courses that we saw, but let's do it from the top to the bottom. We got Lance Pekus, Joe Moravsky, Brent Stephenson. Let me pause. Let me back up a little bit. Thomas Stillings, Flip Rodriguez, Travis Rosen, Kevin Bull, Mike Bernardo, Eric Middleton, Cass Clausen, Michael Selinsky, Nick Kostreski, JJ Woods, Josh Levin, Drew Knapp, Alyssa Beard, Ian Dory, Andrew Lowe, Sean Darling Hammond, and Nick Hansen. Rounding out the 20.
Looks like we found Dory.
Oh, you are the... oh, boy. Oof.
Yep.
Oof is all I can say. But please, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Remember, if you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. Thank you to you guys in the chat for sticking with us. If you guys are on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5-star, super nasty. Remember to keep up with all of the changes coming up on AfterBuzz. Remember to check out our website, check out our monthly newsletter launching this month, and check out AfterBuzz Weekly with Megan Stecker. A lot of stuff is happening. You're going to want to stick around because it's getting good. But just Steve, like if you can hit us with that sweet, sweet outro music. There it is. Amy Cassandra, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. Amy Cassandra _TV. Did you like that?
I liked it.
I was trying to do it a little bit like you. It's up here, so I want to bring it all the time. Oh,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Guys. You can find me online on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. That's the PlayStation Network. Come play some Overwatch with me. Can't get enough of Deathmatch mode this week. And check me out on the Lucha Underground After Show. Not this week, but next week. I'll be on Thursday night, 10 o'clock Pacific, talking Lucha Libre. That's right.
It goes down.
That's right. But as for ninjas, we'll be talking more ninjas next week, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Pacific, talking episode 2, night 2, episode 14, but night 2.
Yep.
You know, numbers are weird, of the national finals in Las Vegas. So until then, peace.
I knew you were gonna say that.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.